If you have your copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn to the book of Ruth. This is the third in a very brief series of four in that book, and we have entitled this Pursued by Grace. It's the romance of redemption, how Ruth, the Moabite girl, comes to love and be treasured by Boaz, which makes all the difference in the world in her future. Let me give you the backdrop. 2 weeks ago in chapter 1, we talked about the fact that a man named Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, left Bethlehem, the breadbasket, and traveled to Moab, which is today the southern part of Jordan. And they did that because there was a famine in the land of Israel. There really was a moral famine, because you could take the book of Ruth and set it down in the very middle of the book of Judges. And Judges says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So there was a moral decay in the land. But there was also a physical food famine. The land had not produced a good barley harvest. And so Elimelech, Naomi, Chilion, and Mahlon traveled to Moab. They stayed there about 10 years. During that decade, several things happened, most of them not good. The first thing that happened was Elimelech died, and he was buried. The two sons married two Moabite daughters, Orpha and Ruth, and then both of them died and were buried. After about 10 years, the famine in Bethlehem was over with. Naomi heard about that and decided to go back home. She told the two daughters-in-laws to go back to their own people. Orpha did, but Ruth said, and you've heard this, I know, repeatedly, I will not leave you. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And wherever you're buried, that's where I will be buried also. And more happened to me if aught but death part you and me. So Naomi and Ruth return empty-handed and somewhat empty-hearted back to the land of Israel and to the city of Bethlehem, where they are well-received. We call that message, sinful choices bring about severe consequences. For they left Bethlehem to go to Moab looking for a home, and they found a cemetery. Looking for life, and there were three funerals there. They came home empty to Bethlehem. But in chapter 2, everything seems to change. Naomi says to her daughter-in-law, Ruth, go to the fields, and the laborers will leave handfuls on purpose of grain and collect as much grain as you can that we might endure and that we might eat. And last week we saw Ruth as she abided in the fields of grace, where God more than met her needs. And by the way, where she met a man called Boaz, who will make all the difference in the world in her life that is to come. Now this week we come to the third chapter, finding your place at his feet. There's a contrasting, comparing chapter in the New Testament in Luke chapter 10. It's about the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. An interesting thing takes place when Jesus and his disciples show up. Martha heads for the kitchen to cook dinner. Mary heads for the feet of Jesus, where she is taught and where she learns and is discipled. After a while, Martha's a little put out with Mary because Martha is doing all the preparation for dinner, and she comes to Christ and says, Christ, by the way, are you going to let Mary just sit at your feet, idle, doing nothing, while I labor so strenuously in the kitchen preparing the meal? And I think Jesus reflected that warm, loving, welcoming smile of his and said, oh, Martha, you are worried and anxious about so much that doesn't matter. And Mary has chosen that one thing that matters most of all. She's sitting at my feet, learning from me and loving me. We come to the third chapter, and Ruth will be found at the feet of Boaz, her kinsman redeemer, who will make all the difference in this world to her. Let's read our text together, chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash therefore and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you have asked, for all my fellow townsmen know that you're a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And she said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. She went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" And she replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." Let's pray together. Father, it's so easy for our minds to wander. So easy for us to think about yesterday and tomorrow and make our plans. But in these next moments, would you clarify for us your will, your word, and your way? Would you cause us to think only of you, to see how you are pictured, you are symbolized, you are seen in this passage of Scripture, and help us to turn our eyes upon you and fall fresh at your feet, that we might learn of you, lean on you, and love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. At the feet of Jesus, all can be learned, life can be found, joy can be given, and peace can be discovered. And in this passage that I've just read in your hearing, there is a beautiful type or picture of who you are, of who I am, and most especially of who he is. Think with me about the possibilities that Ruth found at the feet of Boaz. Ruth didn't have a home. She had left Moab, her kinfolk, her real home behind. She had traveled with Naomi, coming back to Bethlehem, hoping for the handfuls of purpose, for the grain that fell by the wayside when the harvesters did their work, so that meagerly she could make it and endure from day to day. She didn't have a home. She was homeless. You and I fall into that same category. We were existing and enduring until Christ found us in that pitiful and poor estate. I have a home, and you have a home now. One home that I have is in Christ. That's where I live and abide. But another home I shall have is being prepared for me, that where he is, I will be there forever. And Boaz provided a home for Ruth when she came to him. But not only a home, hope. What hope did Ruth have? She was coming back to Bethlehem a widow. Do you understand the distinction, the difference between today and then? Even now, widows often have difficulty making it. But then, widows had an impossible task before them. They only endured and existed. With no home, there was no hope. And with no home and no hope, there was no happiness. Life for her was just going to be mundane boredom day after day after day. But all that's about to change. With a kinsman redeemer, she will have a home. With a kinsman redeemer, she will have hope. And with a kinsman redeemer, she will be happy once again. All that belongs to Boaz will belong to her. All that he is, she will become. All that he has, she will treasure. What a change has been wrought in Ruth's life because she's met a kinsman redeemer. What a change has been wrought in my life and yours because we have a Savior. And all he is, we are. And all he has, we have. And all my hopes and dreams and visions and desires are planted firmly in him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that I would ask or think. Oh, the possibilities at the feet of my Redeemer. But you move to another thought here and you see the presentation. Now, stay with me for a moment. Some of this is historical and it becomes inspirational. So stay with me until it does. Historically, some things are about to happen on the threshing floor that might seem strange to you, but traditionally for the Jews, it's a beautiful picture. Ruth had to do some research. Why is that, Pastor? Because she wasn't a Jew. She was from Moab. She knew nothing of the culture, nothing of the social climate, nothing of tradition. So here's what she discovered. When a young woman in Israel finds the man that she desires and loves, if he covers her with his prayer shawl, it is an invitation to marriage. If I could still kneel, I'd show you what happens these days. He gets on his knees. He pops open the box. He hopes for the best. "Will you marry me?" he says. And we understand that tradition. But in ancient days, every Jewish man wore a prayer shawl. Threads on the end of that shawl that he would hold and count when he began to pray. He would enumerate the blessings of God and count the promises of God. And when he'd take that prayer shawl off in the evenings and cover himself with it, and she came and lay down at his feet, and he pulled that shawl over her to cover her. She was saying yes, and he was saying, "Will you?" And suddenly there is an engagement that has taken place on the threshing floor. But a word about a threshing floor. It was a hill. It was a plateau. It was the highest point nearby. And there was a reason for that. because on the threshing floor, the grain would be placed, trampled, beaten down, walked upon, and then it would be tossed into the air. And you know that the hill, the plateau, the higher place would receive the breeze, nothing to keep the wind from blowing through. And when the grain was tossed into the air, the heavier part of the barley grain would fall back to the threshing floor, and the husk would be blown away by the wind. And it was on that hill that the harvest would take place. And it was on that hill that Ruth found her Redeemer. And it was on that hill, a hill called Mount Calvary, that you and I found our Redeemer, and that the harvest of our souls was collected when He said to us, "Will you be my bride?" And we said, "Yes, Lord, redeem us. Redeem us from who we are. Redeem us from where we have come from. Redeem us from what we have done. We are nothing more than a Moabite, separated and alienated from the grace of God and the glory of God. Redeem us." And at the foot of the cross on that old hill called Calvary, you and I came to know a Redeemer whose name was Jesus Christ. The possibilities and the presentation. Surely it revolved around research. She had to learn what to do. It involved resolve. She had to be courageous and humble as she came before Him. But it also included a reward. She's not who she used to be. She'll never be that again. She's somebody new. She's going to live in a new house with a new hope, with a new happiness. And it's all because she's met a Redeemer named Boaz. And there are promises at His feet. I'm sure she was concerned, trepidatious, and fearful. What if, when He awakens, He scolds me and shames me and sends me away? What if my humbling myself before Him is awkward and unacceptable? But my mother-in-law, Naomi, told me this was the thing to do. And so I walk in obedience, trusting she was right. There came a day in my life when the Holy Spirit of God found me. I came to Christ in obedience to His call. And He saved me by His grace. She may have feared the answer of Boaz, but I cannot fear, and you cannot fear, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There is no doubt when we come to Christ, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," He has said. "All that the Father giveth to me will come to me," John 17, "and I will in no way cast him out." There came that day when Jesus took His prayer shawl, the robe of righteousness that only He can give, and spread it over you and spread it over me. And we simply said, "Yes, Lord, I trust You. Yes, Lord, I believe You. Yes, Lord, I accept You." Now, one might wonder at this kinsman redeemer, the unusual impact he had upon her life. Let me borrow a moment or two from next week's message to give you some insight and hopefully encouragement. There was another Redeemer, one man closer in relationship to Ruth than Boaz. If He will marry you, He will. And you will be His. But if not, I will do all you have asked me to do. You have to know why Boaz was not a Redeemer. You have to know why he was the Redeemer. You see, two possibilities existed, somebody else or Boaz. But when the somebody else was contacted, he was a proper Jewish man. And when told that he could redeem Ruth, it suddenly occurred to him, he's wanting me to marry that Moabite girl. And this proper Jewish man refused. But not Boaz. You must know why. In Matthew's gospel, a close rendering of the legacy of Christ teaches us that Boaz was the son, you ready, of Rahab the harlot. He's not a proper Jewish man. All his life he's been criticized and mocked and ridiculed. All of his life he's been reminded of the failures and the frustrations of living. All his life he's been told who he is. And he had a sympathetic heart for Ruth coming from the far country. A Moabite girl to him was not a turn off. It was a divine turn on, for he saw himself just like her, the son of a prostitute. My Jesus came and became sin for me. He took upon himself all that I am and all that I have done. And when a redeemer would have said, no, thank you, he's imperfect, the redeemer said, I will die in his stead, be raised from the grave, be alive forevermore, and live in him to make him new in Christ Jesus the Lord. As Mary Ellen said in her song, nothing's too dirty, no one's too dirty for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. My Boaz loves me just like I am, without one plea, but that his blood was shed for me. And so he received her. He reassured her. If a redeemer won't do, then the redeemer will do all that is necessary. And I think maybe the most beautiful of all, he rejoiced over her. All the people in town know you're worthy. You're a godly woman. You have not taken unto yourself all the other men that could have and would have, but you have been a faithful person to me and to me alone. And he rejoiced over her. And the Psalms say, my God rejoices over me. A heap of trash, a pile of nothing. A nobody, but redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, his child, and forever I am. And he rejoices over us because he is our Redeemer. Let's stand together. Like Mary, who found all she needed at the feet of Jesus, and like Ruth, who was redeemed when she came to that place, if you're lost in sin today, you can find Christ by coming to the foot of the cross. If you've been saved and yet you've wandered away, you can find peace and joy and help and comfort and strength and guidance at the foot of the cross. And if your membership is elsewhere and you want to become a part of our church family, there'll be pastors here and we'd love to help you any way we possibly can. So while we sing together, the pastors come, the Spirit speaks to you, will you come too? Let's do that.
Every promise.